Recording live from the SEC Pub. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. I'm Dave Romero. I'm here with Heath Elson-San and Tomas Mauricio on Sports Talk 97.7, Russ and Ed Monroe. I feel like this is the first time, maybe all season, or actually since we got hot, that the first hour of the show, we didn't even really mention Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
Now, what's funny is we had our game on Thursday. They released the player of the week on Friday, right?
Yeah.
So Alvin Kamara, I was like, oh, Alvin Kamara is, again, he's player of the week. I'm like, dang, man, he played one series, had about 40 yards, and they made him player of the week. Yeah. So then, okay, I see how that works. Yeah. But Alvin Kamara left the game early. I really feel like he was absolutely the difference in the game. Matter of fact, Ingram, if you remember, came into the game a little banged up.
Yeah.
I fully believe that the Saints went in with the intention of emphasizing Kamara, that it was going to be Kamara's nationally televised breakout game, and we were going to see a whole bunch of Alvin Kamara, and it looked like it on the first drive.
Right, right.
So it might attribute to the fact that our game plan was heavily developed around Kamara, and when he leaves the game in the first drive, then that kind of puts you in, you know, catch-up mode, trying to change everything up.
Yep. Now, you know, Ingram came in. He did a good job. He took a helmet or a face mask to the back at one point and, you know, kept going, gave it all.
That got injured and ended up coming back in the game.
Right, right. But he, you know, and did a good job at it. So, you know, but, yeah, I mean, not having Kamara was obviously a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said, I mean, knowing that Ingram was hurt, I really believe that they were probably pretty much going to tell Ingram, okay, if we need you, we'll put you in. Otherwise, we're just going to let Alvin run the ball the whole night.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, he was off to a great start. Man,
yes,
he had several plays there did well. And Deion Jones, maybe this is the first game that I have an appreciation for him. Yeah. The guy is a monster.
He's a player, man.
And,
player.
You know,
another
second
LSU
round
linebacker at someplace else, it just kills me.
I know,
it's
right?
Like they're all over the place.
And fast, the guy, I mean, sideline to sideline. If you remember in the fourth quarter, matter of fact, on the last drive, that the potential game-winning drive, the Saints ran this little okey-doke play to Snead, where he comes in motion and goes all the way looping back around.
Yeah.
And Deion Jones chases him down.
Any other linebacker would have missed it.
Well, you know, or at least maybe he'd have picked up a yard or two. Matter of fact, in that particular play, I have to ask myself, Snead is not a speed guy, and you wonder why Tommy Lee or even Ginn wasn't the guy.
Well, because probably they practiced that play last year with Kruger out there, and they thought they had a win.
yeah. Like, man, this play works every time.
Every time.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the schedule, okay? So in the first hour, we talked about Carolina, Atlanta. Carolina has Green Bay, Tampa Bay, and then at home, Atlanta. So they're on the road the first two games, in the last three games of the season is what I'm talking about. Then Atlanta is going to Tampa Bay, coming to New Orleans, and then has Carolina at home. Now, the reason I say this is because now, despite the fact that we beat Carolina twice,
right,
we have the same record as they do, and every game, we started the playoffs already. I mean, we can't lose a game. Now, Carolina drops a game, but here's the problem. Carolina drops a game, we drop a game. Atlanta with this they play in New Orleans and Carolina. They're the only team in competing for that last that actually has a pretty difficult schedule. They got to play New Orleans at New Orleans and play Carolina. The rest of these guys, it's going to be hard to move in. Where do you see, Tomas, where do you see the Saints in the seeding when it's all said and done? What's your prediction?
They'll be fourth, just as they are right now. I think they'll win the NFC South, but I think they'll be in the fourth spot. I don't see them rising to 1, 2, or 3. At this point.
Now, the Rams, after losing to Philadelphia, they have to go to Seattle, go to Tennessee, and I heard somebody say this, and I don't know what they use. Tennessee, the worst, whatever their record is, they're the worst team ever to have that record.
Yeah.
And then San Francisco, which, by the way, San Francisco is now, apparently Jimmy Graham is playing quarterback for them, and because Tomas told me, Jimmy G, no?
yeah. Garoppolo.
Wrong Jimmy G.
Oh, wrong Jimmy G. Yeah. I got confused. Yeah. Anyway, so but San Francisco's playing pretty good football, right? I mean, I don't know if they can beat the Rams, but a couple of things go wrong. You know, a couple of punt return, team playing gets an accident.
Yeah.
You know,
never know.
All right. So the Saints are only one game back from Minnesota. So we're tied at 9-4 with L.A., yeah, with the Rams.
Right.
And Carolina. Right. And Minnesota's one game ahead of us. Now, Minnesota, their remaining schedule.
Here's the thing, though. You're one game behind Minnesota and a head-to-head tiebreaker.
Right,
behind.
So you need two
and
games.
And the same thing for
and
Rams.
And you're tied with the Rams, but you're a head-to-head
and
tiebreaker.
That's why I don't see it.
So I can see, especially with the Rams' remaining schedule, the potential that they could actually lose one, the Saints win out, and we can get to number three.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, it's there. Having said that, I don't know if I can make the same argument looking at Minnesota. Minnesota has Cincinnati at home, then they go to Green Bay, and then they have Chicago at home. I mean, Green Bay, I don't see them losing two games out of those games. So, I mean, I think our best bet is the number three.
Carolina.
Most likely scenario, like Tomas said, number four. All right, so if we stay at number four, right now the matchup is we play Carolina again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What I'm really looking at is I feel confident that we'll dispose of either Atlanta or Carolina or Seattle at home. Would be, who do you want to go play? Because once we win, do you want to go to Minnesota?
Yes.
Or do you want to go to Philadelphia?
No.
Yeah. So depending on what happens with Philadelphia, you may say, well, a Nick Foles-led Philadelphia, I'd just soon go play them and all. But I think the reason I'd rather go to Minnesota is just because you're going to be playing inside.
Right.
I don't know if I want to have to go play at Philadelphia at that time of the year, outdoors, Saints on the road in bad weather and playoffs. I have a lot of bad memories. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you, and I made this point, and I think it was me trying to stretch it out. But the Saints offense, a running offense, if Philadelphia – and I made this point before Wentz got hurt.
Yeah.
If we play in a situation where it's like wind gusts and you can't really pass the ball, I feel like the Saints have an advantage. Now – With
not necessarily, because they have Ajayi and Blunt.
Yeah. No. Okay.
And the other thing is, I think Wentz could throw into a 70-mile-an-hour wind and still throw a dart.
Yeah. Right. Right. But now we got Bubby Brister. We don't have Wentz anymore.
Wait, see, I agree with Heath. Inside in Minnesota, first. Secondly, we can avenge our loss. And third, what would it be like for Minnesota to be that close again, like they were last year, and have to lose and? You know, and you bust their dream knowing that the Super Bowl is in Minnesota.
I can't believe what I'm watching.
That would be awesome.
Anyway, so it would be nice to go to Minnesota and just stomp on their dreams yet again. But here's the thing, though. They're a tough team. Just go.
Still just look at Minnesota and say eventually the clock is going to have to strike midnight.
But I feel like that with all of them.
Don't you feel like that? I mean,
It's Case Keenum.
It's Case Keenum, for God's sake. I mean,
he's playing like a beast.
I know.
Playing like a beast.
Yeah, but if they couldn't do it with, like, Tarkington, I mean, you know, really? You know what I mean?
Brett Favre? How about Brett Favre? Yeah. You know? All right. So we hold Atlanta right before halftime, the whole field goal thing. And I'm thinking to myself, if they kick a field goal here, they could stretch the lead and they get the ball back in the second half.
Right.
So not only do we get an interception, the field goal didn't work out, but then the second half comes. Chris Banjo comes up with, I don't know
string
if it was
music.
Some kind of,
string music.
Listen, he gets the interception, and the Saints are in position to, like, take a lead.
Yeah.
That brings the question, you know, why was Chris Banjo in the game?
Yeah.
Because Vaccaro's out.
Mm-hmm.
I have to ask, Vaccaro is a free agent after the season. What is his value, not only to this team, but his value on the market, and do the Saints bring him back?
I already told you no.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, not unless he's going to come back for something really reasonable.
Had to be ridiculous, not reasonable. Had to be ridiculous.
I don't know if he's going to get a ridiculous contract. Has he done anything to make someone say, man, I got to have that
guy? Yeah, but you said that the average, right, was somewhere between $6 and $9 million.
Yeah, yeah.
So, to me, ridiculous would be if he comes back for $4 million.
Oh, God.
You see? He does 4 to 5, I might sign him.
Yeah.
You see? And not even a low end. 6 or 7, I'm saying bye-bye. But if he comes back at 4 to 5, which is under what you say the average is, then I might say, okay, 4 or 5, we might be able to do that. You know? But other than that, no.
Well,
because Marcus Williams and Von Bell are going to be the two people playing back there.
Absolutely.
You know, so Vaccaro then would come up to the front. Well, that's what we got Anzalone for, Anzalone. You know, so he'll be back next year. And who knows what else we're going to pick up next year. I have a feeling we're going to get some more good defensive players next year.
Heath was talking about, and then we can transition into that. Heath was talking about he feels like the Saints' defense is not done upgrading the linebacker.
No, I don't think so.
I think in the past, the Saints have pretty much been a, we're going to score and we're going to be playing from ahead, and they've devalued linebackers.
Yeah.
Because they're generally going to rush the passer and play pass defense.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, they have a good defense, and, like, what's the difference is having those linebackers. Which brings up the question or the thought that I had is that the Saints, I mean, not only do they have a great nucleus for next year, everybody's under contract. We just talked about Vaccaro. If he doesn't come back, I don't think it's a game changer if he doesn't come back.
No.
So we have two guys who aren't playing, Streif and Fleener.
Fleener. Yeah.
And both of them have starter money that aren't even playing and won't be back next year.
Right.
Now, Streif, I could see them. I know he said he's retiring. But couldn't you see them saying, hey, Streif, man, look, come back as a backup. You work out every other day in training camp. And come back and just, you know, for reasonable money, just be a backup right tackle. Because right now, look, we have a left tackle that gets injured quite a bit, but we have a great backup left tackle in our starting right left guard. So if we maintain that structure, the problem is we don't have anybody if Ramczyk gets injured.
Right.
Wouldn't Streif be a great guy to fill in that position?
Player coach, I can already tell you.
You know,
player coach,
however right you want to call it. Listen, we'll pay you 1.5. You'll get every other day in training camp off. Even during training camp, you know, you only get a couple of reps. We'll keep you just enough to get you straight.
Right.
And then you're going to make money, be a coach on the sideline and a backup tackle in the event that, you know, something goes wrong.
Works for me.
Okay. So, but his starter money will then be available.
Yeah.
So will Fleener. So now you're looking at
Heath. You okay with that, brother? I'm just wondering.
Yeah, all quiet.
I'm fine with that. I don't know what happened to that guy, and not from a play standpoint. He's another guy that just oftentimes. Well, I guess it's because of the running they're doing. He's just not on the field a lot.
Right.
You know, he's kind of disappeared.
Because he's not
like
a complete
Steve.
Tight end. Right. He's not a complete tight end.
But now that he's on IR. Then obviously,
but they knew that when they signed him.
No,
so I have to assume that this kind of transition to more of a running just kind of
well, because they didn't sign Kamara again.
Right.
Remember, you know, they signed Fleener, and they were talking about Adrian Peterson, you know, the whole time,
right?
Because they didn't know about Kamara. Then all of a sudden, Kamara falls in their lap, and they're like, "Oh, hold on."
Well, I don't think Kamara. Are you suggesting that Kamara changed the Saints into a running team?
Yes, because they changed the philosophy. Because I don't believe that Sean Payton believed that he would find that kind of joker running back. I don't think he thought that. I think that's why they brought in Fleener, because they thought, okay, we're going to go with the same
kind continue of philosophy.
Right, what we're doing before.
Yeah.
But then once he got this kid and started seeing what this kid could really do, and I think he said, you know what? Hold on a second. You know, what if we did this instead? What if we did this? So all of a sudden, the position of Fleener turned more into a blocking tight end than a receiving tight end.
Right. And I mean, I get it that the Saints
So had they known that ahead of time, I don't think they would have signed Fleener.
No. I completely agree with that. Completely agree with that. I guess I'm just kind of questioning. I don't think that Kamara turned the Saints into a running team. I think what happened was years of drafting and having very good offensive linemen slide down to them to the point where they maybe didn't have a choice but to draft Ramczyk. At the time, felt
or
like
Pete,
they had no choice
thing.
But to draft Pete.
Yeah.
Then next thing you know, they look up at their offensive line. You got Unger. Then you sign a free agent.
Warford
right guard, Warford.
In.
And then you just look at it and say, man, you know, all of a sudden things
line.
Fit. Yeah. So, but anyway, moving forward, I'm simply saying that I think the Saints, not only are they built for the future, but they still going to have money. Now, the next thing, Drew Brees. We got into a debate after the game, and I don't want to make it about Drew Brees threw a bad pass, so he doesn't deserve – but he is going to be 39 years old. What kind of money are they going to be looking for? If he ends up signing for a more reasonable contract, let's say $23, $24 million, something like that, you're talking about a young team having extra money to go out and fill more holes and then another draft class and then some injured guys coming back. You're talking about, I don't want to say dynasty, but you're talking about a loaded team for the next 3 years plus.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, as far as Drew Brees goes, I'd have to think he's going to do something like he did the last time. You know, I don't think he's going to sign the contract that he did the last time and then come back now and want some long-term contract with a bunch of guaranteed money.
So yeah, I think we'll get a home discount. I really, because, you know, I don't think he wants to go anyplace else, right. And he sees that the future could be here. You know, you're talking about a whole defensive backfield that's young, you know, and that's why I don't think we're finished on the defense yet, because I think we're building for the future. And that's why I'm so happy that they signed Ireland again, because I really think he's a difference maker in the draft.
Yeah.
You know, so now the only thing is that the quarterback they were looking at just won the Heisman Trophy, so I don't know.
Yeah, I heard y'all talking about. Now, one of the other things to take into consideration is Drew is no longer the forefront guy for the collective bargaining agreement. You know, there's
a lot of
pressure from the Players Association to say, you can't take a cheap deal.
Right.
You have to get the next groundbreaking contract.
Right.
That's Matthew Stafford now. That's the next group of guys. Breeze can take a hometown deal and not feel like he's doing something negative to the Players Association.
Yep.
Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew, 97.7 Sports Talk. We'll be right back with a Tomas rant. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
Paid for by the citizens of Boudreaux Parish.
This summer, police officers are cracking down. This is Sheriff Cooter Wilmina of the Boudreaux Parish Sheriff Gas Station Beer Bait Barbecue Barbershop Laundromat Department. Remember, if you're passing through my county, you better buckle up. It's not just a good idea, it's the law in these parts. And you need to obey the posted speed limit signs when you're passing through, because here at the Boudreaux Parish Sheriff Gas Station Feed Store Gun Shop Used Car Beer Bait Barbecue Barbershop Department, we take the safety of every single one of our 212 residents of Boudreaux Parish seriously. Remember, in Boudreaux Parish, if you break the law, we will find you, and we may even tase you.
There you go. We wouldn't be a show international like we are
if we didn't
have public service announcement, things to help the community.
Absolutely.
It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, and Sheriff Cooter Wilmot with some public service announcements. Did you see, do we have our Cam Newton fashion update?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, saw he had this.
The brimless hat.
And
at first I thought it was a fez.
He was incoherent as he was trying to explain it. He was a little butthurt.
Yeah.
Because he was like, well, you know, talking to this guy. I mean, like, he just incoherent, right? And then finally came up with some long deranged story about how he came up with the brimless hat. Then as he was walking off, he got like really crappy with the reporter. I can't remember exactly what he said, but he was like, you know what you did. I can't remember. But he didn't like that the guy called him out, and then everybody laughed, but Cam didn't laugh. He walked off, and he was
all serious and
pouting and stuff. But
you missed it.
Anyway, so the donkey makes a big play, wins the game against the Vikings.
With his fez hat.
And puts a lot of pressure on it with his fez hat.
No, his fez hat. You know, he was missing a little tassel. The tassel on it. You didn't get what I was saying when I was talking about that?
No, man, I try not to listen too deeply when you're talking. It gets out of hand quick. Let's admit that when you start talking, sometimes you get a little out of control.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. Yeah, with your jokes and over there talking about sexual harassment.
I'm just a little wallflower.
Speaking, we didn't give a word of the week last week.
Right.
We haven't decided what that's going to be, but we did decide that this week, the word of the week, the code word, is harassment.
That's right.
Harassment.
Said properly, okay. Pronounced correctly.
If you call up, Tomas said if you call up and say harassment,
you're
disqualified. You don't even get to win the money. Nothing. You're just done.
You even got all the rest right. You're out.
Done. You're out. All right. So now you see him get all loud right there. Just want to.
Yeah.
He's fired up. He's ready for a Tomas rant. I can tell.
Oh, my God. It's going to blow.
It's a Tomas rant.
That's right. I don't want to hear these facts.
Daddy, she's going to blow.
I have opinion.
I got a nuke coming in. It's going to blow in less than a minute.
Facts don't mean anything to me.
It's going to blow.
My opinion overranks the fact, okay?
It's going to blow up.
And she will. It is a mathematical certainty.
Now, I'm going to be as calm as I can be with regard to the topic which I am going to address. First, let me begin with the latest that's been released by the NFL. The NFL warned clubs Monday that it will begin levying significant discipline for future contact with and offensive conduct toward game officials.
The league memo addressed a series of incidences involving players, coaches, and officials this season. Now, that would include Sean Payton. NFL Referee Association Scott Green thanked the league in a statement and added, "We would expect that any future actions will be met with appropriate and severe punishments." Did I make it peg too far? All right. Well, here's the problem. Here's my rant. I don't mind penalties when they are properly called, even if it's against my team and even if it's like a bummer. But if there's justification to it, I can understand. Now, we've been talking all season about what is a hold. We still don't know what a hold is. What is a completed catch? Still, we don't know what that is. Now, there are a lot of calls that we don't know what they are. Now, you had an officiating crew. Every game has an officiating crew assigned to that game. This game had an officiating crew that did not include the big heavy guy who called all the penalties against the Saints. Former Atlanta Falcant offensive lineman who got in the way of the interception that might have made it all the way back. Julio Jones may not have caught him had this guy not crossed in front of him. The same guy, as a matter of fact, who in the Denver game said that the guy running back the blocked kick never stepped out of bounds. Same guy, just in case you were wondering. Now, we don't want to believe in, you know, conspiracy theories. However, what the hell do we have here? Now, I'm just saying, I'm looking at it, I'm trying to be objective as much as I can be. But, my dear friends, how do you get 9 first downs off of penalty? You know that the record is 10? We were one short. I'm sure that if he had known that, there would have been one more. But how do you get 9 first downs from penalties? So here is my suggestion to the NFL. It is time to be serious about the referees. It's time to be serious about the officiating. You make millions and billions of dollars. Time to make these people full-time. Time to make these people have to go to work every week, just like the teams do, film study. Time for them to sit down and actually know what the rules are. Time for them not to be fat, overweight, hacked former players or insurance salesmen who are running up and down the field or gasping. Time to make it serious and official. Now, I'm going to try to put it past me until the next time I see this moron on the field. And if he makes one more bad call against the Saints, I will start a campaign to start writing letters to that overpaid Goodell. Good day, sir.
The opinions expressed by Tomas do not necessarily reflect the thoughts and views of David Romero or the BS and Beer podcast. And David's silence should not in any way be mistaken for agreement on the subject. Sometimes we just have to get on with the show.
All right, so yeah, a lot of penalties. Quite frankly, after watching the game again, and I watched it in the 30-minute recap where you don't get all the exposed to all the different things that people are saying and doing all the injuries, the frustration level's a little bit lower. You know, some of those penalties were justified. It's just that you look at the other side and you feel like there should have been some on the other side as well. Anyway, we'll be right back. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer Podcast crew.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer Podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower that is fully armed and operational.
Podcast.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew, 97.7. mass communicating and people casting here from the SEC Sports Pub. It's Wednesday night. It's the BS and Beer Podcast. We talk Saints wall to wall. That's what we do. Give us a call on the graffiti hotline. That number, 701-901-1295. Listen, we enjoy when you guys call. It gives us a topic to talk about. It gives us things. We love the interaction. So please, if you get a chance, the best time, right after the game. There's no hold. There's no waiting. You just call. There's no producer. There's nobody. You just leave a message, and what you say will be broadcast. People casted and mass communicated across northern Louisiana and actually the entire world via podcast. Let's take a call right now.
This is Eric in Vegas. I said I wasn't going to call because you wouldn't be able to post it, but I'm going to try to keep it family friendly. First off, from the drive before the drive that we were going to win the game, he should have been running the ball. We should have been running the ball on the last drive as well. Okay? You got first and 10, and you want to run the clock down so the Falcons can't even get the ball. Run the ball, and worst case scenario is you got to kick the field goal. This game is on Sean Payton. Second of all, this game is on the refs. That BS roughing the passer call.
I agree with that.
Sheldon Rankins in the first half that gave the Falcons a touchdown.
Yep.
Total BS.
I agree.
Okay? This game was freaking rigged. I can't even understand what we have to do. And I'm running out of my minute, so I'm going to hang up and listen and hope that I'm being PC. I'm so furious right now. This game might have cost us home field advantage. Bye.
Eric, first of all, thank you for respecting the minute.
Yeah.
He respects the minute.
Absolutely.
Although he went over a minute, but he respected the minute.
Right, that's right.
So, yeah, awful. There were some very awful calls. Listen, I'm not subscribing to this whole thing. I mean, golly, though. Heath, you made a very good point because I don't believe in conspiracies, but you were just talking statistically speaking. Yeah. It's hard to see when one team is just so lopsided. It just doesn't make sense.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't believe that the officiating crew's out to get specific teams. The problem is – having that many bad calls go all against one team is statistically like getting heads on a coin flip 5-6 times in a row. So, I mean, you know, it's like I don't know. I don't know what to make of it, but, you know.
Tomas, specifically, he talked about the roughing the passer penalty on Sheldon Rankins.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous.
Well, I can summarize this in three words. We got hosed. Okay, I'm done. I didn't even bring up the point about the referee, the line judge that was brought in, who's not part of the regular crew.
Yeah.
That I was talking about. I was talking about the former Atlanta Falcons. He's not part of that crew. The crew that was on for the game did not have him. Had somebody else. Then all of a sudden they say, "Oh wait, hold on a second. Let's replace that guy. Let's bring this guy in." Now how do you account for that? No conspiracy, but how do you account for it?
Okay, I'm gonna throw in a conspiracy theory here.
All right, go ahead.
I read this. Someone actually, I don't know if they tweeted me or sent me a personal message, but they said, "I wonder which way the Saints went in the Goodell."
Oh yeah. How did Sean vote for the Goodell contract?
Or Benson or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all of a sudden, now listen, I have seen the pettiness of Roger Goodell.
Roger Goodell, absolutely.
And I have no doubt. Okay, what I'm trying to say is I don't believe there's this huge, widespread conspiracy theory to control the NFL and decide who wins games. I don't believe that whatsoever. But I would not put it past them to say, and even, hey, look, send whatever the guy's name in. Hey, send that referee over there. He's going to take care of some stuff. Because one of the things I said to Heath is, listen, do you know what it would take to have a conspiracy to go up to how many guys in the referee crew? Like 12? And there's guys who are like substitutes and chain guys and stuff and say, listen, today, the Saints cannot win. But I said, I can see going to one guy, like let's say the head of that crew, and saying, listen, man, take care of it. Then that guy can put a bug in everybody else's ear. Listen, I've been watching film. The Saints been holding a lot. So you guys keep an eye on it. We want to make sure we tighten down on that and put the bug in there and influence them. But what better yet? To actually send in a guy.
Yeah.
Just throw him in on the crew.
All right. Yeah. Just thinking about Goodell now. Okay. Now, I'm not a fan of this team. But what happened to the Cowgirls?
No. Somebody posted something.
I'm just saying, Jerry Jones has been a very vocal opponent to Goodell.
Yes.
Yeah.
I listened to Ezekiel YouTube Elliott videos.
No court brought anything against him.
Somebody brought up, I was on Saints Report and hit a link and saw a Cowboys YouTube video of a guy showing holding for, you know, games. And then that one led to another one. So I spent like 20 minutes this morning just watching Cowboy crying about holding stuff. And they made some very valid points. Mm-hmm. And then you take into consideration, who does Goodell go after? Well, he's going after Jerry Jones because Jerry Jones has been a huge, you know.
He's going after him.
Yeah.
He's going after Goodell.
I wonder which way the Saints were.
I'm sure they voted against it.
What's the vote or not? Like, they know what's being said in the background. You know, when they have these owners meeting, man, it's like a high school. You know, what are you doing? Billy said that we were going to, we got 12 people on this side. You know, man, next thing you know, he sends whatever his name in to call the game. And I'm telling you, there was one point in the second half, and it's fresh in my mind because I just watched the game less than 2 hours ago. And it was just flag after flag after flag after flag, and they were all against the Saints.
Yeah.
A couple of them were, I thought they were legitimate. Then there were a couple of them that were like, oh, there's one on Ken Crawley. I mean, he's trailing the guy, and the guy, their feet tangle, and the guy falls down, and they call Crawley for the penalty. It's just, having said that, even if they didn't call that, the next play was a penalty, so it would have gave him a first down anyway.
Right.
It was just, it really was ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we need to bring in a replay for penalties.
Yeah, penalty replay. You have like a red flag, and then you have like a purple flag for penalties.
Yeah.
Or black and white or something, you know.
Well, I don't know what kind of flag you could use, but let's just refer to him. We're not going to look up his name. We're just going to refer to him as the Stripe the Dirty Bird.
Right,
that's all we need to know is that's who he is. That's what now, if he shows up for the next Atlanta game.
I know, right? Like what if next game they just say, well, we got our crew, and they're like, no, we can give you extra body today. You're like, no, hold up.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to try to make the playing field level. Yeah. A level playing field.
Man, again, I'm not one to try to point at the referees, but it just – it was bad. It was bad. I mean, some of the calls were ridiculous. Now, back to the field goal. What Sean Payton said, and I've heard several people reinforce this. I'm not talking about fans. I'm talking about NFL people. A matter of fact, Blandino. Generally speaking, there's a warning first. That they don't just immediately penalize you. That they warn you first.
Right.
The next time, they give you a penalty.
Right.
Having said that, there was no warning, and that was one of the reasons Sean Payton was
bent out of shape
because, I mean, it literally took 3 points off the board and changed the momentum of the game, the landscape of the game.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, I wonder if he's the same ref that called Calamente twice for being off the line. You remember?
No, I do remember that.
Remember, there was a game that Calamente not once but twice was called for being his helmet not being on the line.
Yeah, but that was a way different game. Was that even this season?
No. Yes, it was this season.
Huh.
It was this season.
You know, it all runs in together on me.
I'm going to have to try to find that. Right. Yeah, along with, you know, another conspiracy issue here.
And this is it. The whole segment is conspiracy.
Another conspiracy issue. Just released that a guy by the name of Cerullo was hired by the NFL.
Oh, the dude, the what do you call it?
The whistleblower.
Yeah. That's right. The whistleblower was just hired, and guess what department he's going to be in?
Department of keeping the Saints from winning games.
Well, that too. He's going to be in the department that's going to decide the punishment for Sean Payton. I'm telling you the truth.
Are you kidding?
No.
Oh my God.
Now, imagine there's no conspiracy here. It just so happens. That the guy that, and if you might remember how Vit characterized this guy as being a total loser.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a total loser, man.
Well, because he lied about his wife and his child. There was all kinds of stuff that came out of that trial, which is why it was all overturned by Tagliabue.
Right.
You know, because there was nothing there. And again, Goodell being the guy that he is, like, oh, yeah, that's probably right. I messed up. No problem. Yeah, not it. Now, Cerullo's there. You know?
Yep.
And he's going to be deciding the penalty for Sean Payton for the unsportsmanlike conduct at the end of the game. What do you think it'll be? I'm believing it's going to be suspension for the playoff games.
Oh, man. No. Yeah,
there you go.
He's going to be gone for a year. It's going to start at the Atlanta game.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
He'll be,
before the Atlanta game.
Yeah. Yo, that's what I'm saying. He'll be suspended for the Atlanta game, and he'll be back around game 8 next year.
Next season. There you go.
You can't make this stuff up.
No, you actually, listen. again, I want to reiterate, I'm not a big conspiracy guy, but this is all interesting stuff that you'd be like, somebody who is going to be like, oh, hell yeah, man, they're taking us down, man. All right, listen, we got one more hotline call. Let's get to that real quick.
Hey, this is Lil Dice. Got a message for Drew Brees. You know, I love you, man. I named my kid after you and everything. But, bro, know your personnel. You are not throwing to Jimmy Graham. You're not throwing to Colston. You're throwing to Josh Hill.
Who?
Come on, man.
Yeah, hey, Lil Dice, thank you as always, man. A friend of the show. We've gone way deep into that, so I don't want to beat up Breeze anymore. But what I do want to talk about is you naming your kid after Drew Brees. Now I need to know more about
which
this.
One, yeah, is it Drew or is it Breeze?
Yeah, which one? A little boy, a little girl? We sure about what's going on here? Just, you know. No.
Never know.
All right. Hey, anyway, it's Sports Talk 97.7. Sports Talk Radio. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. We got the picks coming up. Holla.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
Where you live, Tomas?
Merck.
Merck. Merck. Welcome back. It's time for the pick segment here on 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer podcast crew. People casting and mass communicating.
There you go.
On the podcast, on the radio, doing the whole thing. That's what we're doing here, talking Saints football. Listen, it's time for the picks. I don't even know. I don't even like doing this segment anymore, man. I mean, I don't even know. You know, I think I'm like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing. To make it worse. I already heard apparently somebody looked at their phone and the only game they got wrong was the Saints game. So I know I'm not going to hear the end of that one. I know I'm not going to hear it. So might as well go ahead and take our whooping now, Heath.
Yeah.
Are you ready for the overview?
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Yeah. All right. We got to put a timer on this. Like if he's 20 seconds, he started off, he got up to like 5. So he's like, oh, he just go up to 7.
I don't need to go very far this time, brother.
Don't worry.
He just got up. All he had to do is get up to like number 7. And like people out there like, hey, man, I was number 9. How come he didn't call me out? Then whenever he dropped down to like 27, y'all, it's like, and then Billy Bob. And then it's like, oh, my God.
Well, anybody who's not in third place is not going to be talked about today.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying.
I didn't
in first place, Captain Cheesy.
That's the first time I've heard that. Where'd that come from?
He's come up. Well, no, he's been coming up. I've been saying his name. Number 2, Rob, 22278.
Yep.
Number 3.
Let the suspense build. Hold on. Wait for it. All right.
BS and Beer Tomas.
Oh, man. I'll never hear the end of it.
Along with Joe Groove.
Joe Groove call tonight. Go. Let's Joe Groove tonight.
And then Cincy Saint, the Bridge, and Saint Craft Toots. There you go.
Cut
it short.
Cut it short, boy.
Hey, you told me to cut it short. There's only 7. That's it. Top 7.
Top 7. Leaving people out. They all
Lord Boudreaux at 8.
Okay, there you go. You got to get the top 10 in.
I have no idea what that says. I don't think I've seen that one before. The OGHB, number 9, and DSD Smith. And number 10.
All right. These young folks.
There's a couple of people I never saw.
I guarantee you, man, there's some meaning to that we don't get. Going right over my head. Yeah. There's meaning
the Bridge,
to that
I know.
It's not like us when we make our email address, Dave R at 2215743. You know, it's like there's meaning to stuff that people put down now.
I'm trying to figure it out. I'm like, the OGHB? I have no idea. Algebra?
So here's our pick segment. I decided to start with the 2 greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing.
Oh, I did have it.
It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
All right. I guess I did have the clip. It would have been perfect for that one spot back in the show somewhere in the first hour. But anyway, missed opportunity. We'll chalk it up. All right. So we have to pick out our games. this week, the games that we're going to pick.
Yes, sir.
We got Cincinnati at Minnesota, Philadelphia at the Giants, the Packers at the Panthers, Rams at Seattle, Atlanta, Tampa Bay, and, of course, the Jets at New Orleans. Heath, let's start off Cincinnati at Minnesota.
Yeah.
Hey, man, Cincinnati have been playing tough, man. They played Pittsburgh.
They got crushed this week. I'm going to take Minnesota at home and give up the 12 all day long against Minnesota or against Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Tomas? Yep, I can't go any other way, I think, even with those many points. Now, I might change my mind if they announce that Dalton's not going to start.
Oh, geez.
If they announce that Dalton's not starting, I might change my mind and take the points.
Man, he is a quality ball player.
Yeah, all right. He's a quality.
If Drew Brees don't work out, maybe we can work a deal out with Cincinnati. Yeah. Alvin Kamara, maybe for a couple of draft picks.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Yeah. I don't know, 12 points. I'm going to go Cincinnati just to be different. Yeah, just to be difficult. All right. Here's a interesting game. The Rams at Seattle. Heath, that's a big game.
Yep, that's a big game. We could use Seattle's help, obviously. Well, I say that. Where is Seattle in the
– Seattle's one game below
out
of the playoffs right now.
Okay, so we're rooting for Seattle to knock off the Rams. And so, Seattle is a whole different team playing at home. They beat Philadelphia not this past week, but the week before. So I am going to take Seattle at home to help us out and knock off the Rams.
And it's crazy. Let me just tell you, if Seattle beats the Rams, that means they split. They'll have the same record. And I don't know what the next tiebreaker is.
Right.
But the Rams could easily be out of the champion.
I think the next would
division
be
champion.
They're in the same division, right? So
yes.
I think division record might be
the next one. And I don't know what it is because I don't have that in front of me. But my point is, a huge game for both those teams.
Yeah.
Tomas?
Well, again, as Heath had said earlier, playing Seattle in Seattle is much different than playing Seattle on the road. And after they got their hat handed to them by their brimless hat handed back to them, by Jacksonville, I believe that they'll bounce back. So I'm seeing a bounce. I'm going to take Seattle.
All right. I'm going to go with you. Seattle as well. Seattle, a much better team at home. They beat a healthy Philadelphia team at home. And I think they'll do the same to the Rams.
Right.
All right. So let's move on. Another interesting game. The return of Aaron Rodgers going to he likes to call them the South Carolina Panthers.
North Carolina
Panthers. Anyway.
I have no idea why the hell I do that, but okay. Yeah.
Heath?
Well, Green Bay's getting Aaron Rodgers back, but he hasn't played in a while. Carolina is at home again. They just knocked off Minnesota at home. And so as much as I hate to say it, and as much as it would be a help to have Green Bay go in there and beat Carolina, I'm going to have to take Carolina.
Okay. Tomas.
See, now I'm going to disagree because I really think Carolina, sort of like us playing against the Redskins, they just found a way at the end to win a game that they should not have won with that long run by – go ahead. And so, therefore, I think Green Bay has to win more. They'll feel it more. And with Aaron Rodgers coming back, I'm going to go Pack.
All right. Well, as much as I want to say Packers, again, now here's the thing. Aaron Rodgers hurt his non-throwing shoulder, so he can still throw the ball.
Right.
Having said that, it's not game situation. I can't let my desire to get some help for the Saints
right.
to cloud my judgment. So I'm just going to go ahead. I'm picking the Panthers as well.
I might feel different if it was in Green Bay, but
okay.
Not.
So moving on, Atlanta at Tampa Bay. We've always said we're going to do the NFC South. I'm telling you, Tampa Bay's loaded up. They're like the Clampets. They already moving away.
Yeah, I'm taking Atlanta.
Give us some long stretched out version of.
Yeah. Well, it's a 6-point spread right now, so I'm going to say, no crab legs.
No crab legs?
No, I don't think so. No, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
He's already applied for a job in Alaska because he likes those crab legs so much. He figured he'd go to the
He's
source.
Got a career. Yeah, and you know what?
That's right.
If he keeps playing football, if he keeps playing football the way he's playing, he might need another career here
there
shortly.
You go.
Yeah. So
there you go.
All right, so you going Tampa Bay, right? No? Oh, God. Okay.
I don't think so.
You're going Atlanta. Yeah, I'm going to have to pick Atlanta as well. I mean, this schedule doesn't look favorable for us to get any breaks. But moving on, Philadelphia, and I was going to say because the Saints, things have working out well for them, their schedule. But anyway, move on. Philadelphia at the Giants. The Giants look reinvigorated after they reinstalled their starting quarterback. I feel like the team was pumped up, fired up, ready to play some football. Philadelphia is going to be just like reeling from losing Wentz, their starting quarterback, and now they have Bubby Brister playing quarterback for them. Heath, I hope I didn't influence you with my...
Yeah, you know, you didn't.
not to worry.
Yeah. I'm going to take Philadelphia in this game. There's absolutely no way the Giants are going to get this done, even at home. I don't care. Philadelphia.
Yeah, I just don't see... I know Eli's back, and he's fired up. He really wants to play, but, you know, fired up Eli is like...
Like a sugar cube away from a coma.
That's correct.
Yeah.
You got it right. So, therefore, 8 points not enough. I'm going to take Philadelphia.
You forgot who they were playing. You're like, I'm taking the other team. Yeah, yeah right. Whoever, and I don't blame you. Yeah. I mean, like, Eli Manning fired up just means there's less drool. When you're just sitting there like, you know.
It's just, you know, not the same guy, but okay.
All right. So now the big game of the week, the Saints, who need to stay ahead of Carolina, are 16-point favorites against the Jets, who just lost their Bubby Brister with a broken hand. Heath?
Yeah, I think the Jets are toast. 16 points is a lot, but I'm taking the Saints anyway.
Yeah, I don't think you're going too far on a limb right there, brother.
I don't think so.
But,
Tomas, well, this is the game. You know, and for a little wrestling catch there, Triple H, you know.
The big cat?
Triple H.
I don't know. When did we turn it to a wrestling show?
But in any case.
All right, go ahead.
16 points, not enough. I'm taking the Saints. They're going to bounce back big time.
Big time.
There you go.
All right, well, I tell you what. I just hope to get these guys back from injury. I'd like to see some guys rest. I'd like to see us not need Klein and some of these other guys that have, you know, I think we do need Kamara because he's a difference maker. But anyway, I mean, there's no suspense in this. The Saints are going to beat the brakes off the Jets and start a run 3-0 at the end of the season, and they're going to get that division championship. Anyway, thanks to John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles and all the people called in on the hotline, we appreciate you. For Tomas Mauricio and Heath Elson-San, this is Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.